Welcome to Set the Captives Free Ministries with Pastor Frank Scavarja. This radio broadcast is dedicated to teaching, preaching evangelism, and Christ-centered programs. Our focus is on exposing false doctrines, cults, and occultisms. Praise God in all things. We hope you're blessed.
This is Set the Captives Free Ministry Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Willie Needham, the evangelist, and today we are going to be doing the exciting conclusion of the Go Therefore and Now What series, Open Air Preaching, where love meets urgency. So what is open air preaching? Well, open air preaching is when you get so overwhelmed to reach people for the gospel that you just can't wait to get a pulpit in the church. So you stand on a street corner, you find a college campus, and you just proclaim the gospel openly. Very old school. In fact, it's the original way that people would preach. So why should anyone do it? Well, Jesus, the apostles, the great preachers throughout history, they all preached in this manner. In fact, everybody before the age of amplification preached in this manner as well. I mean, the most famous sermon ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was on a mountain. Pretty clear cut, plain and simple. Jesus was open air preaching. See, the way I see it is that people who need to be saved don't usually come to church. At best, they'll come to church on Easter. They'll come to church on Christmas Eve. But that's really about it. It's not much. So, you see, these churches, they put all their resources, all their time, all their money, all their effort into those 2 days a year when there's 363 other days where they could be doing it just as urgently. You know, the fact is that we really shouldn't be wasting our time hoping that the unsaved or the unchurched will just, quote-unquote, just go to church and hopefully they'll be saved. Especially when we have the same capacity to reach out to the lost as our pastors, who have enough work to do as it is, pastoring the flock of the church. I mean, even for people who step forward in an altar call, not all of them are completely unsaved and then getting saved at that altar call. I hear a lot of testimonies from when people, you know, step forward at the altar call, like I'll see them step forward and I find out their story. And it's like, oh yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus 5 years ago, but then I left and it's good to be back. Something's not right there. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong, but it's not really what we should be expecting. So, what do we do about all this? Well, on August 25th of 2013, I myself was overwhelmed with that same urgency, and I went to a town called Rhinebeck, New York, small, quiet little touristy place where people from Manhattan come up for their mansions and such, and they walk around and stuff, and there are a lot of people there on a Sunday afternoon, and I stood on a milk crate. It was just me and someone else, the other person who held the camera, and I preached for about 10 minutes, and nobody listened. One person said, God bless you, but I didn't even sneeze, so must have been good. But that changed my life. And since then, I've done it well over a dozen times. I try to do it about once a month. But I work a lot. That's all I've been able to do. People have been able to come out with me. And I've even had the privilege of seeing people who've come out with me actually get up and preach. And one of them is a good friend of mine, good sister in the Lord. Her name is Lila. And Welcome. You're on the air, Lila.
Oh, my goodness. I am. Hi, Willie.
How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm excited to have you on the show. You?
Oh, I'm a little nervous, just as I am when I tried street preaching, right?
Yeah. You were the first person on this radio show, so we're very, very happy to have you here.
Okay.
So you've preached, what, about four times now?
I'd say three. I think it was three.
Okay.
Maybe four. I'm not sure. I think it was three.
All right. Well, tell us about the first time you preached. When was that?
Well, the first time I tried anything was in winter of 2014, I believe, in Rhinebeck, when we went out on an outing with you. And I just kind of got up and shared my testimony a little. Again, it was the middle of winter in upstate New York. People weren't really out paying attention, listening. So I did it again in Rhinebeck that spring. I just kind of sat down on a bench right before I had gotten up. I really didn't plan. I was kind of thinking about doing it before I got there, but I didn't do anything. I didn't get around to planning anything to say. So when I got there, I was like, you know, I really should do this. It was probably the Holy Spirit prompting me, probably just also the fact that I knew that I should. So I sat down with a board because I brought some cardboard to have us draw diagrams on for any street preaching we might do, because I've always felt those are helpful in explaining the gospel. So I just kind of sat down and did some notes on some back of some cardboard, and I got up and I gave a little sermonette, if you could call it that.
Or a homily.
And, yeah. Excuse me?
A homily. You know, that's what a sermonette is.
Yes, a homily, exactly.
Just with what you make out of Chris.
That was in spring of 2014 that I got up spring of 2014, excuse me, yes. Spring of 2014 that I first got up and did that.
Very good. Very cool. Yeah, that was such a cool outing. Occasionally I'll see pictures on my screensaver, and it was nice. You know, like, you had some people who were, you know, stopping and listening. I think you actually had a better crowd than I did that day.
Yeah, I kind of find that strange. That I think you've said to me before, you know, I seem very approachable, and I kind of take that as a gift from God. You know, I'm not a very combative person, which can be a challenge. I'm not very confrontational, I should say. Not combative is not the right word. But I'm not very confrontational, which can be a challenge when you're really facing someone who's raising objections to you, or heckling you, I should say. But it can be really good for drawing people, because one of my misgivings about street preaching is that it seems very, you know, people like this always say, I don't like to be preached at. So when it seems too, quote, preachy, and, you know, the false sense of the word, of course. But when it seems, you know, when it's coming off the wrong way, it can really turn people off. So I have really a passion for seeing people street preach, not just with thumping people over the head with the Bible, but really graciously explaining the gospel to people. So I feel like if I can bring that into my street preaching, then it's really a gift that I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, the times I saw you do it, I think you did a very good job. There was a very good gentleness in your tone that, mm-hmm. You know, to be honest, I tried to pick up on myself, but because we are unfortunately very different people, but yet fortunately very different people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I myself, I tend to be a little bit more confrontational in my preaching style. And
mm-hmm.
really for the area, it's so quiet. So really, I mean, you definitely, I would have to say you had a better approach than I did. You know, so kudos.
Okay, interesting. Well, I've kept you in prayer about that. I will say, Willie, I have kept that in prayer, and I have seen you become more gentle in your preaching, I would say. So I did keep that in prayer.
I will get to that, you know, in a little bit later on in this message.
Mm-hmm.
So what really compelled you? I know you kind of mentioned a little bit of just, you know, that feeling, but what was going through your mind when before you got up that first time?
I was nervous. You know, I kind of, when the Holy Spirit prompts me to do something, or when I feel called or convicted about something, I get very nervous and anxious about it. But when I actually go and do it, it feels great. You know, I heard Paul Washer, I just watched a little YouTube clip of him a few weeks ago, and he said that, you know, I understand that many of you are timid when you go out to share. I'll tell you that even I still get scared when I get up to preach. But hearing that from Paul Washer is kind of encouraging to know that even he, this great preacher, if you don't know anything about Paul Washer, I would highly recommend, if you're listening, to, you know, look him up. He's a really great preacher. But, you know, even he gets scared when he gets up the street preach. So I was nervous. But afterward, it's great. I'm on this total high and just this total peace and happiness. I think you've seen it, Willie, like after a good day of witnessing and evangelizing, you've seen how happy I am. You know, I come in, I'm nervous, I'm antsy, but when I leave, I'm just so happy to have gotten to serve God and share the gospel with people. You know, some people get their high from doing crazy things like skydiving. I get a high from speaking Christ into people's lives. I get a high from showing Christ, whether that's in word or deed, or whatever it may be that I get to show Christ to someone. If it's, you know, sharing the whole gospel with them, great. If it's just, you know, the Holy Spirit prompting me to just do something kind for someone. You know, I've had times where maybe the Holy Spirit simply just prompts me to do something kind. And you know, in that moment, the Holy Spirit has worked through your action. It kind of speaks to your heart that God worked through you. That gives me the ultimate high. To me, that's better than driving 90 miles an hour down the freeway. It's better than skydiving. It's better than anything. It's better than a roller coaster. That's the ultimate peace and happiness is that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. For sure. I definitely can relate to that.
Yeah.
So what would you say is your best experience preaching out of the three times that you preached? Like, what do you think would be, like, the greatest moment that you had when you were preaching?
I wouldn't say that things have been especially eventful. When I preach, again, I am a novice. I haven't done a lot of it. But I think one of my favorite moments that I remember is I got to, you know, give a little homily, a sermonette. I wouldn't call it a homily because that's kind of what the priest call it when they did it. I'm not a priest. So anyway, I just, you know, give my little thing. And this woman sat by. She was with her husband, and her husband went to the bathroom or something, and he left her, and she stayed and listened to us. And as I started to talk about death and hell and things like that, it's interesting. Another young teenager came up and sort of interjected. He was a Jehovah's Witness, and he said some things that were absolutely crazy, and I don't know where
oh, yeah.
he got some of the things he was saying. But
I remember that
she was
like
really
the
interested,
hat.
And I felt that it kind of distracted from the questions that she had. And but she was really struck. Like, she just, I remember seeing her. She almost, like, stopped and just was like, wow, like, someone's talking about this. And as I started to talk to her a little bit, she said no. She objected to what the young man was saying. And she said, no, I know there's a hell. I can sense it in my soul. And it was just really a blessing to see that her conscience testified to her of the things of eternity. And to me, that was just, like, a really cool little experience. And unfortunately, her husband came back, and he took her because they were, like, on their way somewhere. But that little moment that she was kind of just struck by the fact that someone was talking about this was really memorable.
That's awesome. It really is. I mean, you have no idea what you could have done for her. Like, what, you know, just by talking about it at that moment. I mean, actually, you caught a glimpse when she said that. You know, that's what we're going for when we do this, right? I mean, what would you say is the worst experience that you've had?
One of the worst experiences was a woman just stopping in her stopping by one day, and just she was kind of taken at first by, like, not taken, I wouldn't say, but she was just interested at first, and she seemed, like, to express that she believed in God and things. But after a while, she really started kind of being very objectionable, and a crowd kind of gathered to see what was going on, and they all agreed with her. So it was, like, this whole crowd of hecklers just cheering her on, which was really hard, and I didn't quite know how to deal with it. It was embarrassing, and I sort of backed out a little because I'm the type of person who, if people are going to be defensive, you know, it's best to just let them be defensive. But when you have a whole crowd of people, you kind of can't do that. So it's hard for me to think fast under pressure. So, you know, she ended up saying, "I think you should just do unto others as you would have done unto you." And the crowd, you know, agreed with her and clapped and everything. And I tried my best I could to, you know, kind of convince her and continue the conversation. But looking back, I know I can learn from it. There were a lot of contradictions in what she was saying. So it's just really learning how to analyze people's thinking and be prepared, because honestly, whether you're street preaching or whether you're doing one-on-one evangelism, people's responses are often the same. Different people will raise the same questions over and over again. Mm-hmm. So if you're really interested in evangelism, whether it's actually street preaching to a crowd or if you just want to do one-on-one, get to know some common objections and scriptures you can use to combat those, because there's nothing new under the sun, right? You know, man is man is man, and people will raise the same objections. They might be framed a little differently, but you can learn some scriptures that will help you answer common objections. So, yeah,
is there anything,
that's one of the worst experiences.
Is there anything you would do differently if you were faced with that again?
I would probably try to step up to the plate a little more, maybe be a little more confrontational, not in a bad way, not in a rude way, but to kind of not be afraid to go for the jugular in those situations, to kind of prepare myself for the future and kind of not be afraid to take people into the law, not be afraid to test people in those situations and kind of learn the right response to say in those situations and not be afraid to use it. So,
I guess
yeah.
It really is more like contending.
Mm-hmm.
Or not contentious.
Contending, that's, yes.
Yeah, because we fight for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and, it's a lot of times people will raise objections, but they're not really, you learn to be discerning. Some people ask you a question, as people have said this before, some people will ask you a question, and they really don't want to answer to it. They just want to be objectionable. They just want to be confrontational. They just want to test you. Some people are really curious, and they might ask the same question, but they might actually be curious to have an answer. So in those cases, you graciously give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because also you don't know who else in that crowd might be wondering the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Many times, you know, not preaching, but, you know, somebody will make a comment, and then everybody else in the group will be like, well, everybody was thinking it.
That's a good point.
So wherever you are, in your undisclosed location currently, wherever you're living in life, do you think you'd like to continue preaching wherever you are?
Well, I'm not sure. I definitely like to do one-on-one evangelism. I really like conversations and starting conversations with people. Preaching, I wouldn't feel comfortable with unless I had a group to go with. I always feel more comfortable with a group of fellow evangelists to go out with. I know you've done it on your own, but you also have your wife with you. So to you, you have a partner in crime. But I would definitely feel more comfortable going out with a group and have a group of us street preach and take turns, just like we kind of did. I'm also have some concerns about being a woman and doing the street preaching. You know, 1 Timothy 2:12 says that women are not to teach or have authority over men. And as much as I believe that there are opportunities for women to speak and serve, I'm not saying we have to do nothing or be on the sidelines the whole time. I'm still kind of under the conviction that it's not my primary job to lead a ministry or to lead a preaching outing. I kind of feel uncomfortable with that. Now, maybe God would have me do it anyway, and I'm just not sure. But that's kind of where I stand with that. So right now where I am, I'm new to the area that I live in, and I'm kind of, you know, hoping I can find some people who have a like-mindedness about evangelism. I feel like I'm meeting a lot of people who really love Jesus, but they're not very, I don't want to say they're timid or shy, but they probably don't have the mindset to actually go out and actively share the gospel. You know, they're more like friendship evangelism. And as much as I believe in that too, and it's important to look for opportunities and open doors, I do also really enjoy going out. Like you said, people don't go to church. People who need to be saved don't go to church, especially this day and age. We need to go out and reach them. So I have a passion for going out. The context in which I do that, possibly not always street preaching, but I'm hoping in the future I can get a group where there's some godly men who are interested in that.
Well, if you can find a good spot, you hit me up, and we'll make some arrangements. How about that?
Okay.
Well, that's about all the questions I have for you today.
Okay.
I'm going to send you some
okay,
good stuff.
Okay, well, I just want to recommend a few resources to people who are listening. There's some really great books I just want to recommend, since this is a topic of evangelism. Some of you may have heard of Ray Comfort's Way of the Master book. That's a good one. But also another really great one, probably my favorite one and the best book out there for evangelism, is called Will Our Generation Speak? A Call to Be Bold with the Gospel. It's by a young woman named Grace Malley. She's my age. She's our age, Willie. And she wrote this really great book about her experience with evangelism, and she's really lived it in just going out and sharing with people. And it's a really great book. It's called Will Our Generation Speak? I highly recommend that. Another really great book I'd like to recommend is Everyday Conversations with Eternal Impact by Lloyd Pulley. So those are some resources I can recommend to you.
All right. If there's any way to like write those down in the comments section of this, it'd be really helpful for all of our listeners, because I heard it, but unfortunately, I can't even remember any of it other than Lloyd Pulley.
Okay.
I'm humble enough to admit that. That's why I try to be very diligent to write stuff down.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but Lila, thank you so much for being on the show. And just for being
thank
on the show,
you.
I'm going to send you some of our the Set the Captives Free Ministries brand new postcard tracks. They're beautiful,
okay.
Perfected. I made them myself. And
okay.
I'm also going to send you some audio sermon CDs of my famous Thank God for Butts message. It's the salvation
mm-hmm.
message in a compact manner. It's about 22 minutes long. So for our attention deficit society, it's a very reasonable length.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to send those to you just for being on it on the air. And I will also get this message on CD and even at least one of your own open air preaching messages that was recorded live. So
sounds good.
Yeah, so I'm gonna move on to our next guest here. God bless you, Lila.
Thank you.
All right, so we have our next guest on the air.
Hey, Will, it's Dave Robin.
Hey, the thing doesn't have caller ID, so that's why I had to do the generic, hey, you're our next caller. So, Dave.
How's it going?
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. It makes me very, very happy. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is really great. I'm sure you heard everything about with what Lila was saying.
I called in and I probably heard the last about 5 minutes of it or so, but some good stuff, some good topics.
Yeah. So far we've been talking about preaching on a soapbox, how Jesus did it that way, the apostles did it that way, and pretty much every preacher. Up to the point of amplification, thanks to Thomas Edison, we've been, that's how preachers preached. So you've preached with me before.
Yes.
Let's kind of dig into that a little bit. So when was that when you preached the first time?
I believe that was last fall, I think. I think it was, as I recall, it was a nice, warm fall day, probably maybe September, up in Red Hook or Rhinebeck. And
I remember Rhinebeck.
Yes. Yeah, last fall.
Yeah, that was a crazy day, wasn't it?
It was. It was a lot going on. That was my first time with you, right? And there was a lot of people out there. I remember it was a very high traffic area, and it was a really nice setting, and I think that it was a great place for some soapbox preaching, because I think there was a lot of people there to hear the message. And you know, I just appreciated you inviting me to go along, and I was very, very, very impressed with just your whole demeanor and your way your boldness in preaching the word, and I do think that you know, it definitely erased, you know, there was obviously some people there that I think that were believers and were being fed and encouraged and enjoyed listening to you. And I think there were some people there that when they heard the word, I think that they were uncomfortable and some even offended, which I didn't expect, but it seemed to me like some people were definitely getting offended.
Yeah. So you got up on the soapbox that day too.
Yes.
And that was, you know, it always, that is truly one of my greatest joys in ministry, is to not only see people hearing the gospel and understanding it, but to also see believers, you know, fellow believers with a heart for the lost, you know, get up there, you know, get up on that soapbox, you know, and testify, you know, and it's such a simple message, and it's beautiful. I mean, I was thrilled. I was so happy to see you up there. And so how'd you feel? How'd you feel when you got up there?
Well, you know, I never even imagined I'd even think about doing that, because I really don't know the word that well, and I'm not a good public speaker at all. I fumble over my words and stuff, but there was something that just, you know, hanging around you, and I think it was Delilah was there, and some other believers, just I felt very comfortable. I felt the peace of the Lord, and you know, I would say this, I felt very comfortable enough to get up there. And when I got up there, I was a little bit nervous, but I knew I was surrounded by, you know, believers that loved me and were encouraging. And so that helped. That helped. That eased the nerves a little bit and made it at least tolerable for me. But, you know, it's weird. I in a strange sort of way, I did feel uncomfortable, but I enjoyed it, and so it was overall it was a positive experience for me.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I had my kids with me too, and I think that was probably also I want my kids to. I want to lead my kids, and, you know, I would love for my kids to be able to preach the gospel to others, and so I felt like in doing that, you know, it kind of helps them a little bit in terms of, okay, you know, Dad does this, you know, this is what we do as Christians.
Okay. That's actually very interesting you brought that up. I forgot your kids were there. What kind of impact do you think you had on your kids when they saw you get up there? Like, was there, did they think about it for a while afterward, or was it just kind of like, okay, Daddy's doing this, all right, business as usual?
Well, my oldest daughter, she's pretty, both my daughters were, they're a little reflective, and on the ride home, they were talking about, you know, all the scenarios of, you know, one lady at, you know, I recall, well, like one lady got real hot and was, you know, kind of hostile. And then, you know, and I think they said, Dad, that was something like that. That was great. You got up there and did that. And which, you know, I appreciated that. It's, you know, and I just try and point them to the Lord. You know, it's I'm a mess, but you know, I'm a work in progress. But you know, He's definitely working, you know, in and through me, I would say.
You know, we're all a new creation, and you know, we're being perfected in, you know, each day, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Amen.
It is. I hope that, you know, as far as my kids, I plan on doing, I like to do more of that, and I hope it has an impact on them, because, you know, I know that for me, sharing the gospel, sometimes I think is easier for me than others, but I think the more that I do it, the easier it becomes, and the less I do it, the less I seem to desire to do it or comfortable I feel doing it. I would like them to develop a love for sharing the word, and also be able to recognize, you know, when you don't want to share the word or you're feeling nervous about it, sometimes, and I think for me this is probably my reasons, is it's the fear of man. And not, you know, it's putting that ahead of the fear of the Lord almost. And so I really try and drive home to them that, you know, it's this sinful nature we have. And a lot of times we're very concerned about what other people think of us. But our main concern should be obedience to the Lord, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very proud of both you guys. I mean, you know, that you were being obedient. You know, you felt that call on your heart, you know, at that moment, and you got up there and you just did it. You know, I mean, like, what makes me so thrilled, you know, I got to give you guys more kudos, because of the fact that when I go out preaching, I spend weeks preparing for it. You know, I make notes. I do a thorough amount of research, you know, and then I get up there, I do my thing. But you guys just get up there and you do the exact same thing. You know, I mean, truly, that's why it's the power of God unto salvation. When, you know,
yeah,
with, you know, the gospel, it's truly the power of God unto salvation. You know, and it doesn't mean that my work is in vain. You know, but. But still, I gotta give you guys both kudos, you know, for the fact that you just got up there. You know, maybe like a couple of minutes to prepare, you know, and make a few notes and stuff, or maybe just kind of, you know, running it over in your head as a mental notes. But you know, I'm definitely, you know, definitely very, very happy for you. You know.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, God's grace on us all, and you know. You know, I just the environment that you create, you know, with the group, I think plays into it a lot, you know, and everybody has some different styles of preaching and ministering to people and witnessing to others, and it's interesting how the Lord gifts certain people different ways than other people other ways. And, like, you have a very, your approach is, when you speak, I feel like just seem very humble. You seem very approachable. And, you know, some people were getting hot, and you didn't let that bother you, and you were just very nice to people, even in the sense of, even when, you know, you're getting frustrated with the word, and because a lot of people out there, unfortunately, don't agree with the idea that there's only one way to heaven. And, you know, we live in a society where it's, you know, have it your way, and so people think that, for whatever, you know, people think that Christians are sometimes very close-minded because there's only one way to heaven, and so, you know, that offends them. But you know, I just particularly like you, the way you handle yourself, and I think you create an environment for people to want to get involved and want to witness.
Thank you. It really means a lot. It really does. So, I'm definitely looking forward to you and I serving together this year. We definitely, you know, if the weather ever stops being winter, you and I definitely gotta get out there, and I definitely would love to see you on that soapbox more. And I would do it. And you did a good job with the camera. Because one thing for the rest of the listeners, that I'm gonna play a clip here in a minute of the day that Dave has been talking about, and basically before I got up to preach, I had an MP3 player recording device in my pocket, and just to record the entire message on audio, so that I can get the whole message on CD and such. But I gave Dave a video camera. And I said, if anything weird happens, just start filming. And kind of funny that I gave you the camera, because you'd never been out with us before, so you didn't necessarily know what's normal and what's weird. But, you know, you got it pretty well on. So we're gonna play a clip from Luda here. Dave, it was wonderful having you on the show, and I'm gonna get you the same thing that I'm gonna get Lila. Bundle of brand new Set the Captives Free gospel tracks. They have been perfected. Very, very thrilled with them myself. And I'm going to give you some.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for being on the show, and God bless.
Thanks, Will. Look forward to working together with you. God bless you.
Yeah, me too. Amen. All right, so now we're going to play a clip from that particular day. It was in Rhinebeck, in my normal, I call it my fishing hole, and we had about 12 or 13 people in the crowd at that moment, and including an Episcopal priest who was not very happy with what I had to say. So all of a sudden, I'm preaching, and this lady comes up, and, you know, she was standing there politely, but then I made eye contact with her, and that's when it all began. So I got it queued up, and I'm going to start playing it. I'm going to do some commentary on it. So here we go. Here's Luda.
You broke God's law. Jesus paid your fine. It is finished. Those are the last words of Jesus on the cross before he died.
Well, actually, it's me right now.
Now, what it means by it is finished is it means we are no longer burdened with having to earn our own right standing with God. That's what righteousness means, is to have a right standing with God. It's not a matter of happiness. It's not a matter of wealth and prosperity and health and such. It all that matters is that you have the right standing with God, because sooner or later, we all will die at some point in time.
Don't you think, my dear,
there we go.
That God is redeemed, that we are all born like a God, and there are scriptures that are showing that we are all God. We just have to discover it and find it with him. What are you thinking about? God over there, God is here.
She's starting out very self-righteous.
There is no other God but God of the Bible.
But
the Bible is very clear about that.
Bible is very clear about it. And I don't have a document in front of me, but I could show you that it says that everyone,
around
every human
time,
being is
more
born
people started gathering around.
God, the Son of God.
You know,
what are you talking
about?
About
20 or 25 people whenever this all started.
As we're born?
Yeah.
We were born in a sin nature because of our nature of Adam and Eve. If I may finish, you brought up a good question, and I would be more than happy to address it.
Sin is an arrow, and that arrow happened because that was meant to be, and we are meant to be evolved in our consciousness, and some people have not awakened yet. Live by faith, not by sight. You are still in a 17th century. You
which
are,
is funny because she believes in pantheism, which
is
sight. Thousands
sight
of years
old. Sight is a secondary. Faith is the primary. You live and you create by faith.
So,
all of us are created
my name's Willie, by the way.
I used to from Moscow, but I've been for more than 30 years living in the city.
Okay, cool. Well, it's nice to meet you, Loda. So, do you consider yourself to be a good person?
All right.
Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
I'm working on it.
Yes.
And I'm brave, and I'm working on myself, and I'm working with our Neville Goddard.
Sorry?
Neville Goddard is the most powerful philosopher of 21st century.
Okay.
And he interprets the Bible, and he said God is the king.
Okay. But yet you're accusing me of judging you.
Well, you
a little bit.
But isn't it wrong to lie? Isn't it wrong to lie?
Of course it's wrong.
Isn't it wrong to steal?
Yeah, but that's going to be...
But it's still wrong, right?
Everybody knows that. Okay.
But the question is, exactly. Is based on what we've just talked about, would you be innocent or would you be guilty?
I don't believe in guilt. Is something that
truly
puts
the
mouth
so
okay, so if you tried to say that before a judge that you don't believe in guilt, when they ask you whether you plead guilty or not, what do you think they're gonna do?
I don't think it will happen as you described.
Now,
I don't think
if I may postulate as to why you think that, perhaps it's because you have already committed lying and theft. You know, to do something wrong and to say, oh, nothing's going to happen to me because I can't, you know, I don't believe it.
No.
Your belief,
no.
Your lack of belief.
I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but I'm evolving, I understand, I'm working on it, and God is in me, helping.
So the question now,
God is, you know?
How much, yes, he is. How much is it going to take for you?
How am
I sure? Because it says his spirit will dwell within us if we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
I'm sure he is with you.
Listen, Luna, it was very nice talking to you. Would you like?
No.
Hang on.
No.
I would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you in a separate setting.
Yeah.
So let me give you my card. Here's my card.
She's cracked.
Feel free to give me a call.
Okay.
Or send me an email. I would love to talk to you. It's very nice meeting you. Let's all give her some due applause. You know, she stood up. She took the test. You know, so we appreciate you, Luna. You have a good day. God bless you.
Bye. God bless
you too. All right. Well. Well, wasn't that just a hoot and a half to listen to? So, this lady, Luda, now, she did have a sense of curiosity as to why I was doing this. But, very quickly, you discover that she was very self-righteous. She did not want to believe in God. She didn't want to. She wanted to believe that she was her own God. That's how she started out. And then by the end, she was saying, I'm only human. So that is a prime example of how the law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, stops the mouth of justification. Now, had we had even maybe 10 more minutes with her, she probably would have come to a point of repentance right there, because she was starting to back down. You know, she was putting her hand over her mouth in a manner of speaking. But the thing is that we love her, we care about her, and her eternal salvation is our motive. See, like I said at the beginning of this message, this is where love meets urgency. Because she was kind of an elderly woman. We don't know how long she had left in life. And to be honest, we don't know how long we have in life. But obviously the older you get, the higher the odds are of mortality. But we have no guarantee. And that's where the urgency comes in. And that's why I was up there on that soapbox that day. Because I wanted to reach out to people. And you know what? I did. I was excited when this lady started yelling at me. Because I knew that somebody was listening. The interesting thing is that there will be a future message on this, but I had made the mistake of inviting some people who were a part of a cult that I didn't realize was a cult just yet. I discovered it very, very quickly, within a couple of days after that preaching. So stay tuned for that one, or keep an eye on the station for that one. But hopefully you noticed that, you know, I showed my concern for her salvation and for her understanding by giving her my contact information. and inviting her to talk in a more peaceful setting where there's not as much pressure on her. So, you know, that's the key right there. It's we've got to remember to be loving, even when we're on the soapbox. Because when you're on the soapbox, you do have to be contending. Not contentious, but contending. You have to be very, very clear that you are in it to preach the gospel. You want to draw a crowd, you want to reach out, and you want to reel in those proud, self-righteous people and show them the law of the Lord. It's very intense. It's very intense preaching. But the purpose is to testify and to persuade others. By the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's the key right there. That is our purpose, is to persuade men. So, I'm going to start wrapping things up. In closing, which is something that every time I hear a preacher say that, it means I got about 10 minutes left. But yet, in the church, you hear, you know, 1,000 Bibles just thumping shut because the preacher said in closing. And I've learned that when the preacher says that, they've got about 3 or 4 Bible passages left, at least. I mean, Paul, when he wrote Philippians, at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, "Finally, my brethren, in closing, 2 more chapters." So, in closing, I'm going to go through some helpful tips that I have discovered myself when open-air preaching. First of all, find a public place with lots of foot traffic and not a lot of background noise. Make sure that you're not blocking pedestrian or vehicle traffic. You also don't want to block any business. There's not really any law against blocking businesses, but it sure is mean to do so. Just out of common courtesy, don't block people's businesses, because they will be your number one enemy, and they will make life very, very difficult for you if you do. In blocking pedestrian and vehicle traffic, that is pretty much the only thing that is a non-negotiable issue when it comes to preaching in the streets. It is good to stand on something. If there's like a natural rock formation or something, whether it be a small mountain or a hill, anything to kind of elevate yourself physically, because we're not elevating ourselves spiritually. We're not being better than anybody else, but we need to be able to project our voice farther. That's the key right there. We're projecting our voice, because a lot of places don't allow amplification. So we've just got to go with what we got. The other thing is that it kind of does cause people to stop. Maybe it's like a coordination thing, like some people can't walk and chew gum. Perhaps other people can't walk and look up at the same time. So if they have to look up, they're more inclined to stop just for fear of tripping. Yeah, it's just a hypothesis. For any street preachers out there who are more experienced, feel free to comment accordingly. Another thing that's very interesting, a good friend of mine pointed out, is that when you're on something, when you're standing on a soapbox, step stool, whatever you want to call it, the people passing by feel just a little bit safer, because if you're just standing there, there's just that threat that person, you know, that you're going to just chase them, because you can. But if you're on a little ladder, you have to climb down first. So perhaps it's just, I mean, it's a matter of perception. Project your voice, but don't shout. You want people to hear you, but you don't want to sound angry. I can't emphasize enough that we must be urgent. We have to have love. We've got to be willing to tone it back a little bit if we have to, if that's what it takes in order to be a little bit more approachable. But, you know, it's okay to be provocative and to kind of poke at people's intelligence a little bit. You know, talk about evolution. Bring up politics. Bring up abortion. Bring up marriage. Bring up homosexuality. Be reasonable about that. You know, all of it. You know, be reasonable about all of it, but bring it up. Don't be afraid to bring it up, because it will draw people. But you don't want to be angry, nor do you want to be condescending. You see, we can't forget that the people who are unsaved in that potential crowd, they're blind. It's not fair to stomp up in front of a blind man and be like, hey, watch where you're going. It's not fair. We don't want to be doing that to other people as Christians. Another key is also to make sure that your listeners understand your message. But be quick so that a passerby can catch the gist of it. There are plenty of times when I'm preaching. I'll preach for about 10 minutes or so, but I'm really only doing about maybe 2 minutes worth of material. You know those personality surveys that you have to fill out in order to get a job, where it's 120 questions, but after a while you discover that it's really just 12 questions done 10 different ways? Well, that's how we got to be when we preach, until we get a good crowd. In my first couple of times preaching, quite a few times preaching, I felt the need to have a little anecdote to start out with. And then I realized no one's listening just yet, and the theme of the message will be lost by the time people start listening. So I decided it would probably be best to save the anecdotes for whenever you have a crowd. But the point is, you got to be quick. You have to have the whole gospel message compressed into about 2 minutes. Be provocative, and urgent, and loving. You're warning sinners of the wrath to come. Very, very important. And the last thing to understand is you got to take advantage of hecklers. You know, like these, you know, our guests were saying, is that, you know, they can really draw a crowd for you. They can work wonders, or they can ruin you very quickly. So that's really about all you got to do. I mean, you can either talk over them, ask them to leave, engage them in dialogue, move your entire crowd. So thank you all so much for listening. It's been wonderful. This has been an incredible episode. This time around, coming up very soon, Pastor Frank will be broadcasting his teachings. That is the purpose of this entire ministry, is for him to do teachings as well for cult apologetics. And thanks again for listening. For more information, you can email me at saltoftheoats@gmail.com. Look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/setthecaptivesfreefromcults. You can write to us, P.O. Box 467, Modena, New York, 12548, or give us a call at 845-883-0089. Thank you once again.